Your attitude determines your fate. That's my subject matter for today. Your attitude determines your fate. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on the exposition of this text. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text today in our continuing study of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is from Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Now, as you have noticed, I read to you from the King James Version of the Bible. A lot of people say, I don't like the King James. I like to have something more modern. Well, my dear friend, the reason why I read out of the King James is I believe that it is the most inspired of all translations, and I go for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit more than for the ease of reading. And if you really face up to it, there are only about 6, 7, or 8 difficult words in the entire King James Bible, and certainly, my friend, since I was a native of Germany and had to learn all the English words I'm using, you could at least learn 6, 7, or 8 new words or old words in your own language, can't you? Now, here's the beautiful text of the story of the healing of the paralytic in the city of Capernaum. It says, and again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is a paralytic, which was born of 4, that is, which was carried by 4 people. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. Now, my friend, you cannot be in church very long before you hear a sermon on this story of the healing of the paralytic. This is one of the most popular texts in the entire Bible. Matthew reports it in the 9th chapter and Luke in his 5th chapter. Let's look at the physical setting here. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus had returned to Capernaum. We see Jesus in Capernaum in the 1st chapter of Mark, where he cast out devils. We see him in the house of Peter, also in Capernaum, where he healed his mother-in-law from a fever. We see a multitude gathered together at the doorsteps at St. Peter's house, as we read in Mark chapter 1:33, where it says, And all the city was gathered together at the door. Then we notice that after Jesus left Capernaum, because it tells us in verse 39 that he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils, then he came back to Capernaum. So today begins with these words, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. By now the Capernaum nights were all familiar with Jesus, and they loved him and they believed in him. But one of the things that was different about this meeting than the previous meetings with Jesus in Capernaum was, my friend, that now Pharisees and scribes had gotten interested in the Lord Jesus, having heard of him, and they decided now to follow him, that is, to track his every move and to evaluate every one of his words. As we read in verse 6, it says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." This is Luke's account of the story. It would have been entirely unnecessary for Dr. Luke to have mentioned that the power of the Lord was present to heal. It would have been entirely unnecessary for Luke to say that, had it not been to emphasize that there was absolutely no reason, no excuse for the healing of many, many people, including the healing of the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, and the scribes in this meeting. And so we should search out a reason why in this meeting, so early in the ministry of Jesus, in the place where a few days ago multitudes were healed, why there was no one healed this day, when the power of the Lord was present to heal them all, while there was no one healed this day except the paralytic, who no one wanted to let come in to the meeting. And this gets us into the middle of the text, telling us right here, my friend, in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, that if there are a few skeptics, if there are but a few critics in a congregation, that spirit of the skeptics, of the critics, can totally render a miracle of God impossible. The atmosphere in a congregation pretty much determines how much Jesus is able to do in a place like that. If a few critics are present in a church service, they spoil the atmosphere for miracles. Pastor, don't hold on to church critics. Let them go out the door so miracles can happen within. We also learn that in Nazareth, where Jesus preached his first sermon, he could not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief, which is to say, because of their skepticism. Oh, how quickly can the mighty works of God in a congregation be brought to a halt? How quickly can faith be quenched? How quickly can a wonderful, believing, loving spirit of a congregation be brought down as to become cold, insensitive, and doubting? As a pastor of 37 years, I can say you can have a wonderful Sunday morning service where the power of the Lord is present to heal, where people are blessed as well in an unusual way, and the whole congregation is baptized or immersed in the gracious love of the Spirit of the Lord. And you can have the next Sunday where that same congregation is, as it were, suffocated by the stain of the world, of the flesh, and by a critical spirit. And so here it says, they were in the house with Jesus, and then there were others outside the house. They were gathered up to the threshold all around the front of the house to hear Jesus preach. Oh, dear one, it says it was noised abroad that Jesus was there, and the people came in large numbers. And Luke says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That means them who came. The difference again in this meeting was that at this time, the scholars were there, the intellectuals were there, the examiners were there. And so the meeting was going in a rather dry fashion. But while the meeting was in session, all of a sudden the ceiling tiles began to crumble down upon the floor of that lovely room where Jesus was in Peter's house. They came down one by one because there were four men carrying a man on the bed who could not walk. And I think on the one hand you can consider this one of the greatest meetings, on the other hand you can consider this one of the worst meetings Jesus was ever in. Let me explain this. One of the reasons why this was one of the worst meetings is because of what could have happened in that meeting in healings and blessings had the skeptics not brought their evil spirit into that service. Yet on the other hand, this was one of the best meetings that Jesus had, because it tells us that if God has just a few men, just four men in this case, my friend, who have an unshakable faith, the most sour meeting, the most dead meeting, can be turned into a meeting filled with the glory of the Lord. I met a man a few months ago, and he said to me, Pastor, I'm so discouraged. If my father, who was a preacher, would be alive today, I don't know if he could make it. We have got rid of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, in our public schools. We now have homosexuals in the pulpits, supposedly preaching, and so on and so forth. So he said, is there any hope for America? And I said, yes, sir, I believe there's hope for America. And I told him about the work that we do with our young people, and how we see young people coming up entirely dedicated for Jesus with a similar spirit as the spirit of these four men who carried this paralytic into the house, with a spirit of faith and determination that could not be stopped by multitudes, that could not be stopped by physical barriers, that could not be stopped by any difficulty you could possibly imagine. Men who would break through and bring the glory of the Lord into the sanctuary. And then I told him, just look at history. We have proof in history that if God has one, even one man at times, or just a few, he can turn a whole nation around. Remember, my friends, the story of the children of Israel, how at one time they danced nakedly around the golden calf and made themselves drunk. And God, through one man, Moses, turned this all around. Remember the story of Nineveh in the Bible, a city whose wickedness was so high that it reached right up into heaven. And God was going to destroy the city, but he decided to give it one more chance. So he sent a reluctant prophet by the name of Jonah, and he preached only one paragraph or one sentence of a sermon, and the whole city repented, and the most wicked city became the most righteous city overnight. And when Jesus saw their faith, he, my friend, forgave the sins of this paralytic, and he healed him. And so this cripple rose up and picked up his bed, never having walked. The whole crowd, my friend, glorified God. Oh, hallelujah. The one paralyzed man with his four friends, who no one cared for, who no one had compassion for, became the key to revival, to a time of refreshing for everyone in the meeting except for the critics, of course. So, dear one, let me close with this. I don't know how deep America is in a moral mess, whether it's up to her ankles, whether it's up to her knees, or up to her hips, or up to her chest, up to her shoulders, or up to the nose. I do know this one thing, that whatever state she's in, however deep she might be in her moral filth, if God has a few men and women who have the faith, the pure, holy faith of these four, that cannot be stopped at anything, he can turn this country around and make her a light to the world again. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy divine inspiration for this beautiful text, and help each one of us begin to realize that we, each one of us, can become the key for revival. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.